Hello, everyone. Welcome to the CDH Conversations podcast, the Women's Month edition. Today, we speak to Roxanne Webster. Roxanne is a director in our dispute resolution practice, and she specializes in business rescue, restructuring, and insolvency. Welcome, Roxanne. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me. I'm so excited to have this conversation with you this morning.
Oh, that's awesome. So, Roxanne, take us through your journey to becoming a lawyer. Did you always want to be a lawyer, or you just like happened to land on that decision?
So I knew very early on that I wanted to be a lawyer. Fortunately, I was one of those students that knew after school what they wanted to do. So I chose my subjects in grade 10 very early on, knowing that I wanted to be a lawyer. I then applied to WITS, got accepted, and everything was going well. But unfortunately, I didn't stay up to date with all the trends at varsity, which included applying to all the prestigious law firms to do VAC work, because that's how you get in to do articles. But luckily, it still worked out for me. But during my third year, when the hot topic was about where everyone was doing their articles at and which prestigious law firm everyone was doing their articles at, I had nowhere to go to. So I started scrambling and applied to all the law firms that I could find, small, medium, and large. So to me, it didn't really matter whether I was at a big, large law firm. To me, what mattered was whether I was at a great environment and able to learn from exceptional lawyers. So I went for a few interviews, and then eventually I got called to do an interview at CDH, and at that time it was called DLA CDH. And I didn't know at that time that it was one of the big five law firms in the country, but I quickly learned that when I sat in a large boardroom with, I think, floor-to-ceiling windows overlooking Sandton and being interviewed by five directors. And I remember a very theoretical question being asked to me, whether you can allow public access to certain type of matters in court. And the answer that I gave was completely silly. And I walked out of there thinking that I just blew it. But the very next day, I got an offer to join a CDH in 2 years' time to do my articles. So I think it all worked out in the end. I then stayed at CDH, did my articles, was at CDH for about 6 or 7 years. I then left to join another law firm, but then shortly came back. I mean, also during that time, I did an advanced diploma in insolvency law. I did my notary exams, and I also completed my master's in commercial law. So you can say that I fully knew from high school already that I wanted to be a lawyer.
Oh, that's great. And what exactly, I mean, you were at CDH for 7 years and you left for a bit and came back. What made you come back to CDH?
I think CDH has always been home to me. It's where I started my career. And it's always been a place where I've felt very comfortable, very integrated. And I think the most important part of CDH is that there's a lot of support from every avenue that you can think of. There's enough support for any young lawyer to progress and fully make it as a lawyer. And I think that's why I call CDH my home, and that I've come back home, is because I have so much support that I know that no matter what comes, or no matter what hardships comes in my career, I can overcome it because there's immense support.
Oh, that's great. Can you tell us what the International Women's Insolvency and Restructuring Confederation is?
So it's commonly known as IWORK, and as you've said, it stands for International Women's Insolvency and Restructuring Confederation. And it was an organization started in the United States in 1993 by women in the insolvency and restructuring industries. And the whole idea or aim of the organization is to empower and encourage women in the insolvency field. So it's a community of women that have come together all around the world, and it's to host webinars, conferences, educational and social activities, which is aimed at ensuring that there's good networking amongst these females, meeting other professionals in the industry, business development, and also a referral of work amongst all of us.
And what exactly is your role in the organization?
IWORK has what they call a number of networks all around the world. And we've recently started the South African network. And I am one of 6 female directors on the South African network board. And it's a fairly new network. It's still in its infancy stages. We just launched it about, I think, on the 10th of August. So right now, it's still a lot of admin, getting it up and running, getting a lot of membership, just advertising it. So I think as the organization or the network progresses, we'll have more much defined roles of what each director does. But at this moment, it's still a lot of admin, getting the network up and running, marketing it as much as we can.
That's great. We hope to hear more about the organization once everything's been established. That sounds very interesting. So Roxanne, on a more personal note, you run a foundation called Give a Future Foundation. Can you tell us about that?
So it's a non-profit organization that my husband and I started in the beginning of this year. And we started it simply because we found ourselves throughout these past few years that we've been together, just helping as much people as we can, whoever came to us or approached us for assistance. We just have that giving nature and we quite enjoy it. So we thought, let's just start doing it more formally on a monthly basis. So we started this nonprofit. The whole aim right now and what we do on a monthly basis is we provide food packages to families that are struggling or who approach us for assistance. And every month we help about 5 to 6 families a month. And the package is quite large. So it's able to sustain a family for about 3 to 4 weeks, depending on the size of the family. But we also try and alternate it every month. So last month, we helped out an orphanage in Johannesburg South, which cares for about 12 babies under the age of 2, and they needed a lot of food supplies, etc. So we try and alternate it between families, orphanages, old age homes from the underprivileged backgrounds. And all of it we fund from our own pockets, and some family and friends give contributions where they can. But essentially, it's just we do it out of our own pockets and we help wherever we can.
And what inspired you to start the Give a Future Foundation?
So as I said, my husband and I really enjoy helping people. I think that's just in our nature and it brings us great satisfaction. We also come from very underprivileged backgrounds and we were fortunate enough to be blessed with the opportunities that we have. And some people from underprivileged backgrounds don't have those opportunities. And it just takes that small encouragement or a small gesture just to encourage someone to keep trying and keep pushing. And we also Christian. And what the Bible says is that there's a specific saying that we really try to live by. And it says that whoever has 2 shirts must share with the person that has none. And whoever has food must do the same. So we try and live by that principle just to give back to where we came from.
That's great. Thanks so much, Roxanne. And finally, what would you say to inspire a young woman wanting to get into the legal field?
So I think the most important thing that I would say to a young woman wanting to start out in law is make sure that you have the passion for law. You'll quickly able to see someone that doesn't have a passion, but it's that passion that will be able to sustain you through those difficult times. It's that passion that will make sure that you don't quit. And I think maybe I'm biased in this, but I think law is one of the most demanding professions and it will take you years to reach that destination. But it's that passion that will make sure you stay the course, make sure you do the time. So if you have that passion and you put in the hard work and you always remain teachable, that I think gives you enough qualities as a young woman to succeed. And always remember, and I said it in one of the Dealmakers articles, I said, remember that difficult times builds character. And persevering through those difficult times builds resilience. And if you sprinkle over some hard work, passion, and competence, you have a young woman that's definitely going to succeed in this industry, regardless of whether it's male-dominated or not.
Thanks, Roxanne. We look forward to hearing more about your organization, the International Women's Insolvency and Restructuring Confederation, as well as your Give a Future Foundation. I mean, those are a great initiative and it's a way to give back. So thank you so much.
Thanks, Tabitha, for having me. It was a great catching up this morning, and hopefully we'll have another session where I can fill you up on what's happened with the organization and with the foundation.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Thanks.
The views and information expressed are those of the contributors at the time of publication and do not necessarily present those of the firm. All content is provided for general purposes only and does not constitute legal advice. We make no representations, warranties, or guarantees, whether expressed or implied, that the content on our podcast is accurate, complete, up-to-date, or reflects the current law. We accept no responsibility for any loss or damage, whether direct or consequential, arising from reliance on the information which is presented here.